Scooch. Strap top. Whiz up. What up, what up? Welcome back to another episode of the New South. Obviously looks a little different today or tonight when we're shooting this. You know, life be life and sometimes, man. So, but you know, we got a lot of stuff to talk about. So we wanted to get an episode out. We want to kind of, like I said, we've been doing well in consistency. So we wanted to continue to keep that consistency going. But once again, I'm your guy, Rob Bridgers. As you can see, I got my Warriors on right now. They're on the TV. They're coming to Charlotte Friday, and I'm upset that I can't go, but it's cool. Oh, yeah, we got my dog, Baby T, and the person wearing it is the incomparable Webb Wellman.
It's the proudest I've ever been throwing up that damn Wolfpack symbol, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, we definitely going to get into those guys, man. But we got a lot to cover this episode, man. So, I mean, obviously, let's start. NCAA tournament. Wow. You know, exciting first weekend. You know, obviously, it's funny we talked about it. Last episode, we talked about Kentucky, and you specifically said Kentucky's a team that can go win it all, or they can go lose in the first round. Lo and behold, somebody looks like he went to Parrot Academy himself.
The weirdest part about it was just, like, he didn't – like, after the game, he didn't back off. Like, basically what Cal says after the game is, like, he's asked, you know, do you think you should change the formula? Like, does this freshman heavy pro get guys to the pro one and done formula? Like, clearly this isn't working. And his response was like, yeah, I don't care if it's working or not. I'm doing it and I'm not changing it.
Right. Cause in this part of a larger conversation, you know, that I brought up on Twitter, is just like, we said time and time again, John Calipari's first priority in Kentucky is not winning. Like, I mean, as crazy as that sounds, but for him, having multiple lottery picks, first round picks, guys that can get the second contracts, that's what he cares about.
Yeah.
And I think people don't understand it. They say, well, he can't coach, he can't do this. Well, I mean, you don't really go to Kentucky to win. It sounds crazy. If Calipari is my living room recruit and Tyler Bridges, my son, I'm not thinking about no 2-3 year plan and how he's going to develop my child. I'm thinking about the next 8 months, what we can do to get him to the NBA, how we can improve his draft stock. That's the conversation that we're having. That's what's more important to Calipari, in my opinion.
Yeah, I it's weird because, I mean, I'm not like a diehard living in the moment Kentucky fan.
Right.
But from a national perspective, Kentucky fans have always been cool with this. They've always been cool with this method. We got one with this method with him. And we have great players every year who go on and do great things and who love us forever. Mm-hmm. I'll be honest with you, though. Like, the St. Peter's thing didn't help. And then this year, the Oakland thing. It was just funny because it's one thing to, like, dude, they didn't run an offense. Like, watching the game, I'm like, Hagen's watching it with me, who's new to basketball. And I'm explaining it to her. I'm like, this is crazy. Watch one side of the floor. Watch Oakland's players who don't have the ball.
Right.
Motion, screen, cut, move, boom, boom, boom.
Right.
Then I'm like, watch Kentucky's same thing on the other side. And it's whoever has the ball, everyone is standing around, literally not moving at all, watching. And it's not one possession of that. It's not two possessions of that. They did it the entire game.
The entire game.
It's like, it's one thing to not prioritize winning. It's another thing to be like, the feel was like, we don't even want to be here.
Right.
We watched a Dan Aykroyd looking white man. Just, I mean, again, like, I love me a shooting ass white boy, don't get me wrong, but Dan Aykroyd's forehead took Kentucky out of the tournament. That's crazy.
He had a terrible fucking haircut, by the way, too.
It's hard. Like, it was hard to watch him or take him seriously because every time you look at him, it's almost like you want to just be like, much forehead here.
Right.
Do you think realistically that, like, they would owe Cal $33 million. He's got a lifetime deal. Do you think that this would left enough of a bad taste in Kentucky's mouth? I know they've already said he's not going anywhere immediately.
Right.
But you also know how it goes, right? Like, even if the people up front want him out, that doesn't become public knowledge until they know exactly who's next?
And that's my question for people out there, you know, who you know, talk about, well, he's got to go. Who are you going to get to go Kentucky? I don't know if you've seen the clip. When you get a chance, please go watch DeMarcus Cousins and Rajon Rondo. They discussed this as well. And it's a really good dialogue because, like, DeMarcus Cousins made a good point. It was just like, you know, we talk about all these coaches. Who are you going to bring in it? Because if Cal leaves Kentucky, I know it's a blue blood. I understand that. But they are going to take a hit.
1,000%. It was a blue blood when Toby Smith was there.
Absolutely.
It was a blue blood before he was, you know what I mean? Like
when Billy Gillespie was there and he stunk.
There was a huge gap. Like there's always Kentucky being a blue blood is cool and all. It means the job is easier, but it's still a job. And like, you still have to have the right guy. The reason Cal was a home run is because he's a politician, right? More of a politician than a coach. Right.
And there's no better place.
He's politicking around town. That shit works. And what he was selling to the kids worked because I don't give a shit about national championships. Come here. Average, me and you have said this on the show. Come here, average 12 points a game. That's all you got to do. That's all you got to do.
But
these NBA guys call me and I tell them you're great and wonderful and you're gone and your money's guaranteed and life is wonderful.
Look at this in perspective, though. Jim Boeheim coached 40 years. He got one championship because of Carmelo Anthony. I mean, Coach K. I mean,
shout out Hakeem Warrick and Jerry McNamara.
Jerry McNamara. Okay, all right. I mean, even Roy Williams. Roy Williams won. He won one. With that wasn't the guys he really recruited, Matt Doherty's kids, and then he won what, two more? So I mean, he coached for 30 plus years. So like, you know, I think people get so wrapped up in winning championships because like Coach K set the standard, but like, I mean, shit, like you know how hard it is on a national championship?
Correct, and to like, do it more than once. It really is not much different than like golfers trying to win the Masters or whatever.
1,000%.
Like, you're talking about one team chasing the same thing everyone else is chasing every year.
Right, 1,000%. So, that was interesting. But, you know, I think I said that to say, like, people, first of all, nobody's going to pay. Well, Kentucky has the resources to pay $33 million, but they're not doing that shit. So,
do you think there was any all we really care about on that team is Robert Dillingham, right? Like, what's the disadvantage of Rob going out in round one when it comes to?
I honestly don't think it hurts him as much as, you know, we would think so because it was such a small sample size and the regular season. Prove that he can be what they, you know, what
people solidified his spot.
Yeah, shooting 44% from three, being efficient, not really turning the ball over, like playing within the confines of himself. So I think
it really just would have been if he could have had a home run, you know, a home run stretch at the end.
Yeah.
The people who were having a conversation, you versus this guy or whatever, it's like, oh, no brainer, right. Gotta go.
But one thing you'll say is for Calipari, I took two kids that weren't first round picks by any stretch of the imagination before the season started. And they're probably going to be two of the top five picks.
Yeah. And that exactly. And that's how you sell. Yeah, exactly. That's how you sell your,
that's what he's selling. So like at the end of the day, like I said, he cut to my house. Shit. What are we talking about? Like,
yeah, their white boy didn't help himself in that game. That boy was,
that's the worst I've seen him play. Like that was
invisible.
Crazy.
But he didn't want nothing to do with the ball.
They didn't shoot. The first 17 minutes, I think him and Rob had one shot attempt combined.
Yeah,
it was crazy, but so moving on, we can put that in the bag there. North Carolina State University. Yo, pay me my money. So my question to you is it Surviving Advance Part 2? Is this really starting?
There's a lot of weird similarities, my friends. Right. Let me ask you a question.
Okay.
If they win tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
They play one of two teams.
Yep.
Is it not a little ironic?
Yes.
That one of those teams is Houston.
That's what I'm saying. Like, we're on the same page.
That's weird. That's weird, man. And again, like, they're in a very losable, they could lose to Marquette, but we're at a point now to where you can't argue with me. Let me tell you something. Marquette's best player is that point guard. That point guard's got to go head up with DJ Horn.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care whose skill is what. We got the tougher guy.
That's true.
We got the dog.
That's true.
So everything is possible now. It's not like last round where the only thing that scares me is what me and you talked about. Like, I'm excited. Like, I'm a State fan who it's hard to make excited.
Yes.
Now I am. And now it's time to be disappointed.
Yes, man. And, you know, I got a chance to, like, rap with Keith. I just, you know, shot him a quick text. And he was just like, man, we just got to keep it rolling. You know what I mean? So,
I like DJ Burns' answers. Like when a lot of times when teams like this are getting interviewed about being here and being in this moment, they're speaking as if like, oh, this is amazing and we can't believe we're here. Every State player that I've heard talking about this situation is very much like, we feel very good right now. Like we feel very confident. We feel very good. Everyone keeps telling us we're supposed to be tired. We're feeling more energy as we're going. I don't know, man. It's the thing is you don't ever believe it's possible because it is such an impossible concept, but there is most certainly a reality that you can look at and see. Look at it. State has beaten two of the remaining teams already.
Yep.
They didn't beat Clemson this year, right?
No, I don't think so.
At least two. They beat Carolina and Duke this year. Yep. Duke, who they might play in the next round.
Yeah.
It's a scary thought to think that NC State is two games away from a Final Four. One of those games might be against a team they've played more than once.
Yep. No. So I just think they just have an opportunity to do something really special, man. And like one thing we look at, man, teams in college basketball that win are veteran teams. And if you look around, this team is third year, fourth year, fifth year. A bunch of guys that like that's been in pressure pack moments. Playing in the ACC period is a pressure pack moment in itself. Playing those Carolina and Duke rivalry games like that. So
what I don't understand is, and we talked about him, and I love him to death, but how is DJ Burns look like Shaquille O'Neal?
So right, I'm going to be honest with you. It's crazy because I'm comparing two totally different people. It's the Steph Curry effect. You don't play anyone remotely close all year like a DJ Burns. Somebody that can control the game as a big, especially today's game.
Right.
Somebody that can really just bang and bang balls, just bang and just wear the defender down game by game. And like you see it, like he's gotten to the point now where he understands where double teams, he knows exactly where the double team is coming.
So that's kind of what I'm asking, I think. Like his game hasn't changed, but what it seems like, and again, I'm not watching every second of every NC State game. I paid a lot more attention towards the end.
Right.
But it seems like the success right now is they put DJ in to dominate and packets, right? Like put him in like 10 possessions straight. He's touching the ball. Give him an opportunity to either bang it down, pass it out, or finish. And in those 10 possessions so far, ACC tournament and NCAA tournament, they have not run into any post player who knows what the fuck to do. When he gets his back on them, his footwork is good enough. I don't want that to be like, oh, it's good enough to fuck these dudes up.
Yep. I think
just curious that like you keep waiting for like when are you gonna? But the reality is you're gonna have to run into another veteran big man with size and skill and footwork. Who he's a matchup nightmare.
Yeah.
If they can have one other person playing alongside him in a game, and they can have two guys playing and the role players doing their thing.
I got to give the staff credit, though, man, because I feel like they've worked with him and watched film to find out where the double team's coming. Because there's been times where DJ didn't know where the help was coming, and he may throw it away. Like, I think one of those games, he had, like, eight assists. I think the Texas Tech game, he had, like, eight assists, bro.
It's DJ Burns in a different – DJ, this is all, like, the perfect storm. Like, you have to have the coaches that put him in the – like, DJ Burns with the wrong coaching staff could easily just be sitting in a corner waiting to get the ball and setting screens and not, like – they could turn him into that opposed to what he is now, which is, again, a very dynamic college player on a hot streak at the perfect time.
Perfect time. I saw he got the Barstool NIL. So that's another factor. You know, now
his vending machines. I didn't know he was running vending machines. That's fire.
I'd be curious to see what he got his vending machines. Pause. But
Hagen's bet against – I've bet for State, and she's bet against State every round. She doesn't want to bet against them now. She has to. She has to bet against State every
week. Bad mojo.
So we're all in on that. Because this one isn't a big topic, but it just – we haven't heard Jaden Bradley in a while, and it was kind of dope to see him play. Like, it wasn't a crazy game. He had 12 points, you know, 3 rebounds, 3 assists, 3 blocks, like some really solid stat line. But it was fun. I just wanted to throw him a bone. Like, it was fun to watch him go out there and do his thing, especially for a team that we don't ever get to see on the East Coast.
Absolutely. I kind of want to touch on that too. And I mean, you know, shout out to Jaden Bradley. You know, we watch him, you know, dominate over the years and things. Caleb Love had an interview today. And obviously, a lot of the questions were surrounding the looming potential matchup against North Carolina. Yeah. And they asked him, you know, pretty much his feelings going into it. And he just was pretty much really, he was really candid about it in terms of saying, you know, I had to go through that to get to where I am today.
Yeah, he said he felt like he maybe was treated a little unfairly.
You saw. And I'll be honest with you, I think that knowing what I know about the situation, obviously I won't speak on it because it's not my place to speak on it. But I feel like Caleb was a scapegoat for a lot that went wrong at UNC last year. You know, players do what coaching allows. So, you know, at the end of the day, if you allow a player to go rogue or do what he wants, then accountability has to start from the top.
Yeah, discipline comes from the coaching staff.
Take that for what it's worth. So, yeah. But I do hope they play. And I'll be honest with you, man. I worries me about Caleb Love because I feel like he may have this, you know, if I play these motherfuckers, I'm going to go for 50. I'm going to try to go for 50. But we know that side of Caleb Love, what happens if, you know.
Probably exactly what Carolina wants.
Absolutely. So
I'm going to be real with you, though. I don't like Clemson, but that scares me. That game, they're playing really weird right now. And if you made me pick an upset right now, it would have to be Clemson over Arizona.
Yeah. I can see
that. And I like Illinois. I don't know how much of an upset that is, but I think Illinois has a chance over Iowa State, too. I don't, you know, whatever. That's neither here nor there. But Jared McCain, I wanted to touch on this, too, just because we have footage of him from the wall, and he fucking killed it. Killed it last game for Duke.
Yep.
I just was kind of curious, like, we've said it with Duke this year that kind of the only thing they were missing is the guy. Like, if you need a takeover guy, if you need a bucket, who is, you know, when I would ask people, Jeremy Roach was the name that I would get most often, and that I would do the exact face that you just did right there. Like, I don't know about that. Maybe he's the most consistent and safest option, but is it now where we are right now in the year, in the tournament, if they need to go to someone, is it the freshman Jared McCain?
I think that's kind of where you have to go at this point. I mean, you know, anybody that can make a shot makers are at a premium in this tournament. You know, obviously we saw with Oakland with the Jack Conkey kid. But I think for somebody like Jared McCain, I think that's the opportunity for him to really assert himself for one and two, you know, improve his draft stock. Obviously, you know, he's not, you know, he's built his brand to where and he has a game to go behind it. So, I mean, we know this is it for him in Durham. So for him, it's a matter of, can I take that next step and be that guy in the most pressure-packed moments? And, I mean, my God, playing Houston. Houston's probably the best defensive team in the country.
Yeah, I don't like the matchup for them in that regard. You got guys who maybe have some questions about their toughness versus arguably the toughest team in the country. Well, outside of UConn, maybe, but.
Yeah, so, and that's kind of where I'm at with it. So, for Duke, it's just a matter of, can you make shots? But I will say this. Houston really they probably should have lost their round of 32 game, to be honest with you.
But they didn't, And they did it in like a really resilient, crazy way. Yeah, I wonder if that's like the powder keg they needed to. Usually the teams that go far or win it all, they have one game where you're like, I'm not, the way UConn's talking, I'm not sure UConn's going to have one of those games. It sounds like they want to just beat the dog shit out of everybody.
Yeah, I really feel like this is a UConn invitational, but you know, I mean, you know.
That's the spread only being 11 was a little surprising to me.
Yeah.
I jumped all over that. Do you think with Jared, one of the biggest benefits has to be that he is kind of so big? Right. Do you think that helps with like maybe they feel more comfortable with him in a big moment that maybe he won't shy away or be nervous because he has had a little bit more spotlight on him earlier on? And I don't know if any of those other guys have had any real, because even Jeremy Roach, 5-star most of his high school career, like no one talked about Jeremy Roach in high school.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think he's going to be, fine. I think that moment, when we think about McCain kind of lets the game come to him, so he doesn't really force a lot. I think this is going to be a game where he's going to have to kind of assert himself more offensively. So I'm curious to see how it plays out. So
I want to see Duke play State, and I want to see Jared McCain come out with red fingernail polish on. Ball. So this next topic, the last one, we'll kind of go through with what has happened so far. And the only reason I want you to lead this is because I think that you're more connected with the total story of him. Yep. But we were started it last week and we cut it off because we were so invested in Rob. But But I'm really interested in like how did we get here with Jonas Adu, and what is the immediate future look like for him based on A, how he's performed all year, and B, like it seems like he's every game he's playing a little bit better in the tournament.
Yep. I think for Jonas, it's just been a matter of being consistent. The second thing too is they've integrated him in the offense in a way that they needed to. Because first couple of years, he's kind of more of just like a rim runner, get off the rim type of guy. But now they actually throw the ball to Jonas down the post and let him work out, things like that. But I think you got to give credit to Jonas because he's gotten much, much stronger from last year to this year. I think that's the biggest improvement in his game. He's now able to take that contact and finish it above the rim, finish with touch and things like that, even step out, not knock down the 10 to 15 foot jumper like we've known him accustomed to. I think it's the perfect storm for Jonas. Like, you're playing with a team, with a player who's getting national attention in Dalton Connect. You got an All-American point guard in Zakai Ziegler. I think it's just the perfect storm for him. So the more they can continue to win and he can continue consistently put together those consistent performances, those 15 and 8, those 12 and 10, those consistent numbers, I think it ends up boding well for him. So,
yeah, I like that their best player didn't play very well last game, and and they were able to still fight back. Like, it really never felt like they were at risk in that game, even with the white boy not doing too hot.
Yep, but Creighton's going to be – that's going to be a really good game because Creighton can really score the ball offensively. I mean, I'm looking at these Sweet 16 games. I mean, they're all just phenomenal matchups, man.
Do you think – I know he tests the waters because everyone does. Mm-hmm. Jonas Adu play college basketball next year?
So I will say, as a junior, you go into your last year, you absolutely test the waters because it doesn't hurt.
Everyone, yeah.
Ultimately, I think if the feedback is to go back, I think he goes back.
With the idea being go back, being the centerpiece, being
do this,
download centerpiece and show people what you can do with many more touches a game.
Yes, absolutely. Right. So
if he goes and someone loves, see, that's what Jonas is in that spot we talked about. Obviously, it's different, but a long time ago with Josh, and everyone was like, people are going to guarantee Jonas first round spots, but it's not going to be true.
Yep.
Right, like it's promise him so we can hope to steal him where we don't have to guarantee him anything.
Absolutely.
That's where like the agent stuff plays in and like, you know, you hope. But I'm with you. I think you go through the process. He figures out everything that he needs to improve upon. He comes back and it's his year.
Yep.
It's fun to watch Simmons be right about things. And we're not quite there yet, but I promise you, like, the camera on Simmons on draft night will be some of the best content you have ever seen in your entire life.
No, for real. Because, I mean, both of his boys are playing well. I mean, Silas made all-freshman team. You know, Jonas made second-team all-ACC. I think he made first team on one of them, on the AP. So, I mean, you know.
It's just what happens when, like Simmons has been there with those guys from, like, let's just call it the beginning, close enough to the beginning, right?
Yep.
And he's rallied for them all the way through.
Mm-hmm.
And Simmons has yet to have one that has been just like home run, draft night, boom, boom, boom. And it's inevitable. It's going to happen, right? Mm-hmm. The first time that it happens, because hopefully it'll happen more than once. The first time that it happens, it's going to be fireworks.
He's going to be unbearable, and I can't wait.
Oh yeah, exactly. It's going to be so bad. And that's why I want to make sure we put in everybody's face, because like, if we all have to deal with it, so do you. Yeah, it's awesome. What do you think in terms of the games to come, right? What do you think it'll take for UNC to get through? Outside of Alabama having a off night, which they tend to do more often than probably one if you're Alabama.
Yeah. I think for UNC, man, it's just they gotta be tough, man. Like, that's the one thing I'm questioning about UNC all year. Is this a tough team, like a mentally tough team? Like when we talk about teams like Houston, we know Houston's physically tough, but we know they're just as well as mentally tough. So for UNC, sometimes I don't see that person just like, I'm just like, yo, fuck it, let's go. We're gonna do what we do,
and it has to be RJ based on personalities.
Yeah, it's got to be RJ. You know what I mean? But like, you know, I think for UNC, man, like the two guys for them, it's got to be Cormac Ryan and Harrison Ingram. If those two play well, or one of the two plays well, because you know what you can get with Mondo, you know RJ's gonna give you 18 to 20. But if Ryan is on or Harrison Ingram, I think that bodes well for Carolina. this game is going to be probably in the 90s because Alabama doesn't really guard like that. So
yeah, and that's what will be fun. And I think ultimately that's what's the undoing is as long as Carolina doesn't come out super cold.
Yep.
They should have enough to swing punches with Alabama until they go cold.
Thing with Carolina is just you can't look ahead. Like, right. Obviously, we know
that would not feel with Arizona too. Is same both thing. Teams forgetting y'all got a game you could lose tomorrow?
Absolutely, a very losable game. So it's just a matter of both teams not looking ahead, taking one game at a time. So
we already talked about NC State's path. I don't really think there's much to say on this, but I'll ask just in case you have an opinion. I kind of forgot that the two Word of God kids are on Illinois.
Who's the second?
Crosby.
He's on Alabama.
Alabama. Okay. Thank you. I'm sorry.
Yep.
I'm sorry.
Yep.
He doesn't get many touches, right? He doesn't do much. Gibbs Lawhorn,
mm-hmm.
He's starting to get a little burn in the tournament, right? Have you seen them play?
I watched Illinois play a few times.
He plays a couple minutes off the bench type shit.
Reserve role, probably 10 to 12 minutes a game. So
you don't anticipate either one of them making much of an impact?
Nah. I mean, they may have a moment here or there, but for the most part, nah. Because, I mean, everything right. Illinois goes through Terrence Shannon. So he's
shout out Word of God for at least having those guys active. Two Word of God guys still in the Sweet 16 is pretty awesome.
Absolutely. Word of God's in the news again today, too. We'll talk about that in a second, though.
Well, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Well, the head coach from College of Charleston is going on to Louisville.
Yeah.
I would be a betting man to say that he's bringing along somebody with him.
All right, bet. A couple things I wanted to ask you that are kind of – there's actually one that you don't know about, but three questions. And these don't have to be, like, super long-winded, but I was thinking Baycott started this question for me.
Mm-hmm.
Who are the top five big men – to ever play at Carolina? And I'm not talking about after their college career, strictly at Carolina.
Strictly college. I think I can do this.
So, and we can do it together, right? Like number one is obvious, right? Like Tyler Hansbrough is their number one.
Yep.
So where do we go? Where do we go from there?
I think you go James Worthy too.
Okay.
National player of the year.
Okay.
This is where it gets murky because, you know, you can either say Sean May or Sam Perkins.
Both. So you're saying both.
Yep. Okay.
So there's one more, and this is what I'm getting at. Is Armando Baycott, is he going to end up being one of the better big guys, or is he not even close to this conversation? Is Eric Montross on this list?
Montross, Antoine Jameson.
Chris Lang?
Armando's better than Chris Lang. I'll say that.
Chris Lang was shots fired. Chris Lang was dookie sandwich. I was not being serious. this question really did come from like not many guys stay as long as Baycott has. Like it is
Brad Norton.
Like Montrose takes him out of that conversation. Eric Montrose is a much more beloved Carolina figure than
God rest his soul. Absolutely. No, he's not top five because I mean Antoine Jameson. You have to consider him as a big.
So you would call him a big man in that situation.
And I probably put Antoine Jameson probably in the 2-3 range. To be honest with you, if I'm being totally honest with you.
He was so same coming from the same thing, but different position. Top five NC State point guards since 2000.
Since 2000. Okay, my first question is, are we considering Julius Hodge a point guard?
If you want to.
In terms of impact at the school, Julius Hodge is number one there. Because, I mean, he was their point guard at that point.
If we're being honest, you have to say that about every position. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, Julius Hodge is number one.
Right. I agree. So, yeah. so my guy Jules. Dennis is definitely second.
Yeah. I think third is actually easier than you think. You're forgetting. There's one guy who no one ever talked about who was so nice.
Ryan Harrow?
No, but I don't hate that. He just wasn't here.
Cat was up there. Cat's up there.
He was where this part of the conversation came from. Was like, I have so much sick Cat Barber footage, but like, they were just State was kind of due to that whole period of time.
Yeah.
But Cat was so nice with it. But that's three. There's still two more. Do we even have two point guard? You now have to throw in, even though he's only been here for a second. You have to throw in DJ now, right? Since 2000. Keep in mind, we're talking since 2000.
Let me scroll through my mind with these NC State teams here. Give me a second.
Ugh. I'm trying to rile people up with urgency bias. Recency bias, not urgency bias. Recency bias.
Yeah. Markell Johnson was good.
Markell. Okay. I'm with you on that. But Markell Johnson, well, that's a good question. If we had DJ Horn for 4 years with the way he plays and the way he acts, he'd be hard. He'd probably be the most beloved. You know what I mean? He'd be on some Julius.
Absolutely. Hodge. Listen, he has the greatest meme ever.
Yeah. Oh, legendary. That needs to be a shirt.
That was hilarious, dog.
Yeah, that was awesome.
That's tough to get five, though, but I would say, I mean, maybe Lorenzo Brown.
Can we claim Robert Dillingham even though he didn't come?
No.
Ryan Harrow's a good one, though, and he didn't last long, but, I mean, he was here. Sure,
Tyler was a good one there for the time.
Tyler was a good one. Never got to see him at his, you know, his full strength.
Yeah. That's tough. I guess when we watch this back, we're going to be like, oh, we forgot about such.
Oh, well, that's what I want that. I want, tell us, the people who are listening to this or see this who know the answers, because they're definitely diehard Carolina, and say, tell us, educate us, please.
Yeah.
Transfer spotlight. I just want to give you a chance, maybe show these couple guys some love. Ben Burnham and Cade Tyson jumping in. I think Cade has super high level potential in that transfer portal. And I think Ben might go somewhere lower, obviously, than Cade, but he's going to be a super impact as well, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, from the information I was told today, Ben Burnham is probably going to end up at a high major school.
Will end up. You said will maybe end up at a high major school.
Yes, possibly. Right. I don't know if that's the school, but he put his name in before everything happened.
Yeah, run me through, as an uneducated person, of the recruiting process. Where do you think who's calling Cade and Ben?
So we'll start with Cade. Kentucky, Kansas, Duke, North Carolina. Those are the schools that are going to jump in there with Cade Tyson, because when you're 6'8", you shoot 46% from three on five attempts a game. You have the positional size. You played in college for 2 years. You're getting recruited at the highest level. So I think those are the, you know, and I thought Miles said Clemson has no chance in hell, because if I'm Clemson, you should have took him 2 years ago.
Yeah, facts.
When he was Mr. Basketball. typically when guys are Mr. Basketball in North Carolina, you know, if you look at recent history, they're all high major kids. So, facts. But yeah, I mean, Nick Jones and my guy Trent Markwith, who I actually just met last weekend in Atlanta for the first time. Cool dude. Real cool dude. They put out a list of the schools that, you know, were recruiting Cade, and it's a who's who up there. I think State was up there.
Where was this out of high school?
That's a good damn question. Right. You know, I no disrespect to Belmont, but there's no way he should end up at Belmont. Because we know we watched him in high school. We were like, yo. He can
skill, can shoot.
Yeah. So not quite sure. Maybe that's a question for my shout out my guy Sim Frazier, Tiny Curry. He listens to every episode too as well. So may have to ask him about
what that. What was it? What were people afraid of with K Tyson? Yeah, I don't understand.
I would love to know the answer to that question. So anybody else jumping in the portal today? Bobby Pettiford jumped in the portal, man. So
I saw that. Is that good or is that bad?
Please give me the fourth floor for 1 second here, okay?
Yeah, go ahead. Take it.
All right. So what I'm about to say is probably going to piss people off if they're listening to it, but my thought would be, you have better things. You need to fix the fucking program before listen to the New South podcast. ECU is a dumpster fire, right? Okay. You're in an American conference. Now, there's Memphis. There's South Florida, who's really good. And that's Florida Atlantic. Florida Atlantic was in the Final Four last year. You cannot compete in a league with a 6'6 wing as your center. Shout out to Brandon Johnson, Wakefield Riley kid. Had a great year. He went in the portal. So when you have these conversations, it's like, yo, you're not in the CIAA, boy. My whole thing was, I think a lot of stuff got put on Bobby unfairly, but I'm sorry, the pieces of the puzzle didn't fit. And my thing is, when have we ever known ECU basketball to be competitive?
Well, that's what I was getting ready to say. Pieces of the puzzle not fitting seems to be a
recurring theme in Greenville.
A trend in Greenville. I mean, right. But I'll be real with you, man. I, like, and again, this is me being selfish. I told you about this, and the coach isn't there anymore, right? But like the coaching staff seems to be irrelevant. All the coaching staffs at ECU tend to do things the same way.
Like, yeah, I forgot about that.
We reach anybody from us. If we reach out to a school like ECU, who is in a market that is more than competitive,
right?
And you have clearly not proven to have any clue what the fuck you are doing, ever. If someone in the space is like, hey, I have a phenomenal idea for how to help, and it's of no risk or consequence of any kind. And you hit me with the unofficial visit line. It's like, dude, I'm trying to go out of my way. I'm not asking you for money to tell you this, but there is a way that all this works.
Right.
Bob, it was almost like they were starting to make moves in a way that was going to work. Ezra, Bob, Cam, finally you're getting guys from the state in. You had to do it through the transfer portal, but whatever. And now as soon as you get them, now you're starting to have them depart again. You can't keep a kid happy that lives an hour up the road?
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know.
I once he gets settled, that is one of the things where I'd love to start talking to the guys that went to ECU. Like, what's happening? I'd wait till you're done so we don't have to worry about the politics of it all. But I need some stories.
I can tell you some, but
yeah, exactly.
Not my stories to tell, but we could talk about it offline. But yeah, so Bobby's
two more topics, and I'll let you go.
Yeah, we're good. We're gonna put him in a good situation. Justin Wright's in the portal as well too. He's got some big time interest as well too. So shout out to those guys, man.
So this is the one that wasn't on there. But I do. It kind of pairs off what we did last week with Theo.
Yep.
In your opinion, if you had a pickup game tomorrow. Tomorrow, everyone's the age they are right now today. Theo Pinson's Wesleyan team versus Harry Giles, junior or senior year, whatever, pretend he's healthy. That team, Quay Parker, Brendan Shows, that whole team. Those two teams going head to head. Who? What's happening? Who's winning and what?
I'm going to go junior year Harry team because I feel like he's the best prospect on the floor at that point. You know, I know my guy Triz. Triz is going. When he hear this, he may be like, "Damn, bro! Like, big bro! Like, you gotta do me like that." But I'm sorry, bro. Like, junior year Harry's probably one of the top two high school players I've ever seen in my life, and I've seen a lot of people.
And their team was probably a little deeper. Like Brandon, again, I love Jaquel Richmond. But Brandon Schultz would have fucked up Jaquel Richmond. It'd been fun to watch, but I just mean Brandon was so at that stage, junior senior year. He was so chiseled in terms of the way it was just a different level. They were sharper. I think that's a good word. That Wesleyan team seemed sharper.
I think I can agree with that. You know, Jalen Johnson was kind of like the unsung hero on that team because he just flew around, just dunked on motherfuckers and hit threes. And
there's one thing I do know. That game can happen. That game can happen. Why can't that game happen in the summertime? Why can that game not happen in the summertime as for charity? All those dudes are active. None of those dudes are so famous and so popular that they can't compete in something like that.
They go back to the school, and you know what I mean? Like, they'll sell Wesleyan out.
That would sell out so hard.
Yeah, yeah.
And you could even expand it, and then you start to say, all right, well, take an all-time Wesleyan team versus an all-time Greensboro Day team, an all-time High Point Christian team, and an all-time Westchester Country Day team. Let's have a tournament, boy. Just in case anybody's listening, just these are, you know, don't steal our ideas, but let's holler. All right, last one, and this is on you again.
Yep.
I was going through old footage.
Yep.
And, you know, going back and being able to tell stories that maybe weren't, we just showed the highlights. We didn't really tell the story. There's a really crazy video, and it's the dunk is Jalen Harris where he bounces it to himself.
Yep. Boom.
Jalen Harris with the Blue Devils brought Quay Parker to Wilson to play it. It seems like a rec center.
It was at the Wilson rec,
The Wilson rec center, and they basically put on a show for a bunch of the kids. How did that happen? And you were there, right?
Absolutely.
Tell me about – I just got the footage. Tell me about what that was.
So basically when Jalen was growing up, he played for an organization called the Wilson Blue Devils. He played with DeAndre Overton. They played at Clemson football. Played with Khalil Sykes. They played at UNC Greensboro. Played, you know, a lot of different guys. So in eighth grade, this is when Jalen, Dennis, and Quay all got really, really close because, you know, obviously mutual respect and things like that. So this is actually the third time they came. Pause. It came in eighth grade. Then it came again in ninth grade the next year where I had Dennis, Quay, Jalen, and we played against Brandon Ingram. Donnie actually filmed that game as well, too.
No, thank you.
Yeah, it was crazy. That was a crazy event. So Dennis actually ended up getting hurt, sprained his ankle. So, all right. So fast forward 2 years later, Dennis had kind of already catapulted himself to be the number one point guard in the country. He had gone, you know, his way. So this was an off weekend where, you know, Jalen didn't have anything to do with Team Wall or anything. So him and Quay were really close. So there was a local tournament. They decided to enter the tournament. It's funny because I tell Jalen all the time, like, you don't understand the impact that you had on kids and from Wilson. Give you a perfect example. If you go back and look at this video, you're going to see it. You're going to be like, oh, shit. Jalen's like, when he's doing like that, he does a sham god. He goes between the legs, like hard dribble, like 3 or 4 times. He pulls up. If you freeze frame that, there's a young Kobe Edwards sitting right there, like staring in amazement.
I was going to ask you that because I assumed that he had to have been there.
Yes, he was like, when you see, you're like, oh, shit, that is Kobe. Like a young, this is Kobe's probably 7 or 8 at this point.
Yeah.
So it's just for him, it was just a matter of just like how he just, you know, had the community on his back. But man, yo, them dudes together, man, like they just made magic, just lobs and just turning
that video
up,
was so crazy. Random, but it was so sick. The highlights and the energy was, it was fucking, that was crazy.
It was crazy. And like, yo, they were talking like discussing the people in there. And it was one point I was like, yo, Bob, yo,
geez. Is that, I don't mean this disrespectfully, but for like summer past basketball, has Wilson ever seen motion like that before? Like that moment?
Not in that age group. Like, honestly, like in the summers, like we used to have like the summer league at another rec center, and that shit used to be crazy. Like, I don't know if you remember the guy from Goldsboro, Sammy Monroe.
Yeah.
Athletic. He used to play in that shit. Like, I mean, it's just, it was crazy. We used to have like a crazy summer league back in the day. But no, Wilson's had some good basketball, but at that level, at the high school level, nah, that was unbelievable. It's kind of how you see it in Rocky Mountain. Now, like, that's why kids love going to these Rocky Mountain events because, like, one, like, the rims are kind of, like, slanted.
Real small, and, like,
yeah. Yeah, and, like, they crowd the courts and, like, they go crazy in there, you know what I mean? But no, that was love, man. Like, just, I tell people all the time, man, like, they just had it, man. Like, you know, obviously everything happens for a reason, but I feel like the two of those guys, they were two people that really had a chance to, you know, do something special. And they did do something special when you put things in perspective. You know, everybody thinks, oh, you got to go to the NBA. That's your ultimate goal. Well, if you make an impact, man, and people know who you are, I think ultimately that, you know, you did what you were supposed to do. You know what I mean? So, you know, you created a mixtape with Jalen. I think that might be his highest views of mixtape, the one with the Team Wall. And I think that's, it's close to 1 million views. You know what I mean? So like,
he has like a sneaky, a lot of views. Like,
yeah,
all the videos we did of him.
Yeah. That's a good time.
Yeah. Sorry, I just got distracted.
No, you good.
Yeah, no, I think, like you said, maybe they didn't make it to the league and make blah, blah, whatever, but it's not easy to create motion. Like that phrase is so valuable, and they
had it, man.
They created motion in a way that impacted kids, and that's not easy to do. And it was easy to see. Like the footage that we're overlaying on this, you're gonna see like those kids went home. I guarantee you every kid that was in that gym went home and went in the driveway and started putting shots up.
Doing a double live.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Like it's going to be cool. It's been cool so far to keep being cool to share those old moments where people maybe didn't fully understand what was happening, how it was happening. All right. That's it for the topics. I do have one more question for you out of here. You've seen how it all works. Is your national champion still in it?
Yes. It's funny because I created the bracket and I'm dead last in that shit.
Who's your national champion? UConn?
UConn. So, I mean, but like 6 other people have UConn too. So, I don't have a shot in hell of winning.
Who's your final four?
Well, that's a good question. Okay. So, it's Houston, Arizona, UConn and give me 2 seconds. I'll tell you right now.
Tennessee.
I think it's Tennessee. Come on, Bracket Bridgers. I am in 15th place. It is like 16 people and shit. This shit sucks. Let's look at
my. We're not here to be right, Rodney. We're here to entertain.
Speak for yourself. I'm here to be right, goddamn it. I have, yeah, Houston in the Final Four. UConn. Damn. Why can't I look at my bracket like this? It's weird.
It's weird. Isn't that weird?
Oh, Creighton. Did I put Creighton in the Final Four? What was I thinking?
Nah, you didn't mean to do that.
I definitely didn't mean to do that. See, Creighton, Houston, Arizona, UConn. Well, but to be fair, they're all still playing right now. So,
facts. So, this has been fun to not care about the bracket.
Yeah,
like, I've been on stuff and doing that whole game. Like, I haven't looked at my bracket one time. I could give a shit about my bracket.
Yeah,
trying to make that money.
That's what I've been on. To hell with a bracket. I've been hitting on FanDuel. Draymond tonight got ejected 4 minutes in the game and like messed up my parlay, bro. Like
fucking up the parlay, Draymond. Well, we appreciate everybody for tuning in. The audio version will be up ASAP. Obviously, you just listen to it. Don't be stupid. All the video highlights will be on our socials, Hoop State Network, at the Hoop State on Twitter, YouTube stuff, hoopstatenetwork.com. Follow Rod at Rod_Bridgers. And don't follow me because I don't like you.
You don't be talking about shit either.
I don't be talking much. All right, y'all. We'll see you next time. Scooch. Strap top. Wizz up. Yeah. Hey, you get the bag and fumble it. I get the bag and flip it and tumble it. Straight out the line.